The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 24th, 2006. I'm Tom Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, sources say inside the WTO that the ag trade talks are about to fail. And a new report says President Bush will veto a bill because of the agricultural disaster assistance it contains. And House of Representative leaders are set to push legislation calling for all new cars to be E85 compliant. Well, Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. Take time out this afternoon for a little nap. That'll help you keep your fingers intact as you push through the planting season. The farm's dangerous, you know that, just reminding you. Speaking of the farm and this busy season, crop scientists at the U of I have begun updating the Pest Management and Crop Production Bulletin on Thursday afternoons. I will bet you haven't seen it, so we'll take a look at that later this afternoon, too. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at 350 and three quarters, down 2 cents. July futures a penny and three quarters lower at 363 and one half. In Kansas City, May contract 437 and a half unchanged today. May corn in Chicago down 3 3/4 at 232 and three quarters. July at 244 and a quarter. Down 3 3/4 for the day. September futures off 4 cents at 254 and a half, and the December contract at 267, down 3 3/4 on the afternoon. Soy complex now, May beans 574 and a quarter. They were up 4 1/2 cents today. July futures a nickel higher at 588 and a quarter, and August soybeans at $5.94 a bushel, up 4 3/4. November contract 609 and a quarter for the harvest month. They finished 5 1/4 higher. Soybean meal May contract 170 higher at $173.60. May bean oil at $24.50. They were off 11 today. From the Mercantile Exchange, now feeder cattle finished the nearby April contract at $100.80. They were off a dollar. April live cattle at $79.82 and a half were down $1.57 and a half, and the May lean hogs at $65.52 and a half. Finished the day unchanged. Crude oil at $73.35, down $1.82 at this hour. The dollar at $87.42, off 63. The Dow at 11,337 is down 9. The silver at 11.77, down 1.19. And the gold at 620.60, off 11.60 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace. A little uptrend in the bean market today.
Yeah, the overnight market was higher, and there was a little bit of news to get us to a positive start. The outside markets were higher in early trade last night, but as the day session wore on, we all know what happened, sharply lower. But beans were able to hang in there through technical buying, and I think maybe a lack of selling more than anything pushed the market up into some buy stops. We got above some moving averages. We broke the downtrend line briefly there, but we were unable to close above it. Sort of reminds us of the market action we saw back there in February, where we consolidated into a pennant formation. We broke out to the downside, couldn't go anywhere. We broke out to the upside, couldn't go anywhere. But I think today's failure to close above that uptrend line sort of signals that probably more consolidations in store here, Todd.
And consolidation, so you're not expecting really anything to move sharply lower then?
Well, longer term, I do, but short term, until we actually get some beans in the ground, the market might be able to hang in there a little bit longer. I think it's just a matter of time where the bean market's going to drift lower. It's, I think the market's sort of waiting for some confirmation that we are going to get some beans in the ground.
Phone's quiet today as planters are in the field?
Well, not really. Monday's typically heavy volume. Basically, you know, your first day back for the week, I don't know, trade volume wasn't that heavy, per se, but, you know, guys getting dialed in, making sure they're sticking to their plans and so forth and making plans for this week's activity. But, yes, corn planters are rolling. In the most part, there's still a few isolated spots that's kind of wet still. I know here locally we've got planters going here over the weekend. Get on not very far south of us. Guys are going to be done here in the next day if it doesn't rain tonight.
And then most people have called this a weather market. Would you agree with that? And why is that the case so early in the season?
Well, I think it's just something to talk about. By no means can it be a weather market because basically we are at the second fastest planting pace in history. I don't know how that could be a weather market. This afternoon's planting progress expected to show the planting progress 20% complete as a nation. Last year we were at 30, but the fastest previous time before this was 20% back in 2004. If you remember back in 2004, we produced 160 bushels the acre. Last year we only produced 147 bushels the acre, so I think they're just using that as an excuse to talk about the average. The average is 17% for this time of year. The 20-year average is only 11%. I know guys a lot older than me talked about, never even thought about going to the field before 1st of May anyway.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that wouldn't dare put anything into the 1st of the May, and then they started pushing things back all the way up to March. I think things have begun to moderate just a bit around the state of Illinois and certainly around the state of Indiana as well. What else are we talking about in the news today for the marketplace?
Well, being said that, I mean, corn demand's still good, and the market's going to be kind of super sensitive until we do get the corn crop in. A lot of the analysts are looking at we need to get at least half the corn crop in here in the next week, which could be very well anticipated. Export shipments were fairly good. We shipped out 50 million bushels of corn. The trade was only looking for 30 to 35. That was a big plus, but the better forecast sort of limited the buying interest there. One of the Brazilian agencies did come in and lower their Brazilian crop down to 55 million metric tons, you know, sort of inching it lower here. But when you subtract a million metric tons here and a million metric tons there, we've still got ample supplies of world stocks. We'll continue to watch the Western Wheat Belt's forecast here. The far west sort of got gypped out, but eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas got some well-welcomed rains. Is that Western Wheat Belt will continue to watch as we go through the week with their next best chance towards the end of the week here, Todd.
Tell me about the Mercantile Exchange.
Oh, man, cattle and feed report started out somewhat slightly lower, but as the day wore on, the trade sort of believed itself that there's ample supplies of meat around. We're going to have ample supplies of beef was going to miss summer. The June contract's a huge discount where cash is. We closed at 73.22. The cash market's squeaking 82-cent trades. There's that wall of worry that these big placements are going to be all ready here this summer, but this market holds this way, we'll slowly pull fats forward here and sort of ease that situation. Hog futures a little ahead of itself in through here. Cash hogs steady a dollar higher, but when you look at the board price, there's still a little bit of premium to where the cash is. So we could probably see the future stabilize and see the cash market in the hog complex firm up as time goes on. Big news is outside markets, though. The crude oil was down over $1.80. Gasoline over 400 points, gold back down $11, silver over down $1.20. And with last week's action and this action we're seeing here today suggests maybe these outside markets could sort of back and fill here for a few days too, Todd.
Actually, I just brought that page back up on my price tracker here, and I was about to ask you about that just a little bit because things are all in the red today and in the red pretty substantially, I suppose. Is this something that looks like a top, a consolidation area, just a waypoint on a continuation on the way up for you?
I call it a top. You look at the gold chart, if you look at the overnight trade, incorporate that. We had a key price reversal last week there on the day chart, you know, until that high is taken out in the gold. I think that will set the standards here that we can back and fill. Our recommendation is buy gold put options. I think that's real worth a reward with. You can buy some August put options for $5, $500 a contract, and look for this gold to go back down and test the $600 level in the next week or two.
And of course, gold trading at $620.60 in the April, the May at $621.60 at this hour. Anything else to let us know about today before we give you time off for the afternoon?
Well, I think everyone needs to mirror and be safe out there. It's going to be busy here, and I know these guys can cover a lot of ground and are hurrying through here. Talked to one producer who just got started this weekend. They're already 50% done in just a matter of 2 days. It's just unbelievable how much ground they can cover.
We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimball is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. M580's own Mike Sola forecast for the two-state region tonight calls for, in the central and southern sections of Illinois, mostly cloudy skies. Some scattered showers and thunderstorms this evening, becoming most numerous after midnight. Elsewhere, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers possible. Lows will range from 38 in northwestern Illinois to 58 in the south tomorrow. Mike says, in the north, becoming mostly sunny in central sections. Mostly cloudy. Some scattered showers possible in the morning. In the south and in central parts of Indiana tomorrow, cloudy morning showers and thunderstorms, then partial clearing with a few showers during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow will range from around 50 near Lake Michigan to 63 in southern Illinois. The extended forecast for the two-state region Wednesday and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny. Friday in Illinois, becoming mostly cloudy, some scattered showers on Friday, some thunderstorms. In Indiana, partly sunny, highs through the period mostly in the 60s, lows Wednesday in the 30s, lows Thursday in the 30s and low 40s, and lows Friday in the 40s. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a complete look at the day's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, sources within the WTO say the organization will miss its April 30th deadline for a more detailed agreement on the Doha Round. And an early May meeting of trade ministers in Geneva is likely to be canceled or postponed. Over the weekend, U.S. and European Union officials blamed each other for the faltering talks. EU Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson says, in his words, the U.S. has yet to cut a single dollar or dime from its escalating farm spending. In reaction, U.S. Trade Representative spokeswoman Kristen Baker said, in her words, the commission is quite adept at finger-pointing. We just wish they would put that same kind of energy into the needed negotiations. Washington Insider is reporting that President Bush will threaten a veto of the $106.5 billion emergency supplemental bill under consideration in the Senate. The threat is directed to the $4 billion agriculture disaster relief package contained in the supplemental appropriation. The full Senate is debating the bill this week, which is primarily for additional funding for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. House Republican leaders will push a new energy bill in late June. The measure is expected to contain several renewable fuel amendments. Among the possibilities, a boost in the renewable fuel standard of 7.5 billion gallons by 2012, with a portion of the hike earmarked for E85 fuel. Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin is calling for an amendment requiring all cars to have flex fuel engines within a decade. It now appears that Japanese officials are calling for a U.S. public education program in Japan to convince consumers of the effectiveness of the U.S. food safety system. Japanese officials are saying that such consumer acceptance should be rebuilt before resumption of any beef imports from the U.S. are allowed. USDA has unveiled a new rule that will allow China to sell processed poultry to the U.S. so long as it is not from birds raised or slaughtered in China. Under the new rule, raw poultry would have to originate from either the U.S. or Canada. And a Minnesota man believes using distillers' grain to replace commercial fertilizers for crops may provide an additional use for the ethanol byproduct. Dell Glanzer is an independent crop consultant. He believes DDGs is perfect as a starter or broadcast for corn, since the distilling process only removes the starch from the corn, leaving all the other nutrients intact. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension Sod Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, up next, farmers are doing spring field work. So are the crop production and pest management specialist at the University of Illinois. The bulletin is released Thursday on the World Wide Web. The internet address is www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. Well, in this week's edition of the University of Illinois campus-based crop scientists take up a series of production issues, including a cautionary tale from the extension entomologist. Flights of the black cutworm continue across the state of Illinois. Intense captures have been made in Crawford, Piatt, Ogle, Whiteside, Coles, and Shelby counties. The entomologist used the captures to calculate when the black cutworm might start feeding or cutting corn plants. Here's the list of the counties and dates farmers need to watch. May 1st in Pulaski County, the 12th in Crawford, the 15th in Shelby, May 16th in Piatt, May 19th in Coles County, and on the 23rd in Ogle and Whiteside. The rule of thumb treatment for black cutworm injury to corn has long been a 3-5% threshold. That's still good, report the U of I entomologist. From insects, we move to weeds. Aaron Hager and Don Norby report the mix of weeds in the state has changed in the last decade as fall tillage passes and residual herbicide use have both been reduced. A series of mild winters has aided in the changing weed spectrum, too. It all means the fields are a lot greener in the spring than they used to be. Green with weeds, that is. Most of the weeds are winter annuals. Chickweed, henbent, field pennycress, butterweed, and purple dead nettle, among others. They need to be controlled before planting. 2,4-D ester is the weapon of choice, alone or tank mixed. Well, the high price of nitrogen may cause some field problems this spring. U of I soil fertility specialist Bob Haft writes this week that because some farmers held off applying in last fall in hopes of lower prices this spring, and because of the delayed field work, it will be necessary to be extra cautious with in applications as the planting season begins. Haft says while nitrogen fertilizers are very beneficial for crop production, if misapplied, they can cause serious crop growth problems early in the season. Do not, he says, use ammonia with spring strip till. Doing so places the ammonia directly below the seed zone. If the zone cracks open along that ammonia knife track, the free ammonia will move up into the seed zone and inhibit germination or prune or kill the roots. Yield loss of 50 to 60 bushels an acre has been observed from such damage. For those that have strip tilled with ammonia in the spring without a problem, well, Hafe says, consider yourself lucky. Other suggestions to minimize damage from spring pre-plant anhydrous ammonia include applying ammonia at an angle to the row, waiting 3 to 5 days after ammonia applications before planting, not applying ammonia to soils that are wet. If you're planning to till the field, applying the ammonia first and then field cultivating. Oh, and do not allow urea-containing products to come in contact with corn seed. You can learn more in this week's edition of the Bulletin. It's online at ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: AgriFab Incorporated, Sullivan; Dick's Pharmacy, Arthur; and EAGCO Incorporated, Fairmont. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened in the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Okay, so why do beans go higher?
That's a good question. They have gone a little bit higher here in the last couple of weeks, but I would still maintain that if you look at a chart since the first of the year, we're still not anywhere close to where we were in January. It seems like every time we sell off, the traders are there to try to buy a bounce, and they bounce a little bit, but they never quite get back to the highs that that they fell from. So even though we've had a nice rally, I guess I don't see anything that would lead me to believe that the trend still isn't lower in beans, but we've got a long year ahead of us. There may be some ideas that with the rally in corn that maybe we are buying some corn acres back from beans, and we may see less bean acres from the next report. Also, the dollar is extremely weak. You may see some money coming out of the financial markets and moving over to commodities as well. So all of that might be a short-term reason for why beans have shown some strength, but the fundamentals longer term still would suggest that beans are headed lower.
You know, it's kind of odd, I suppose, if you look back at the charts and you go not only back to January of this year but all the way to January of last year, you can see a downtrend from January of last year all the way through today in the beans. But I guess it must be that everybody's been so bearish the beans so long that they just seem like they've been going higher when, in fact, that they've rallied back. Their rallies after their drops have just not been as up as much as people thought that they might be.
Yeah, and we've talked to farmers, and you know, they know the fundamentals as well as everybody else, but it's paid to hold on to beans the last couple of years. You know, the South Americans had poor crops the last 2 years, and we had the aphids 3 years ago. So even though they see the fundamentals, they've been rewarded for holding on to beans into the summer the last 3 years, and I guess even though the fundamentals wouldn't suggest that this year, it's hard to argue with what's worked in the past, and so right or wrong, it seems like a lot of them are going to hold on into the summer and see what happens.
Farmers on the tractors this afternoon in Champaign County?
Finally. We've had reports of a lot of corn being planted in Champaign County starting today. Some were able to get in the field over the weekend, but to the south and the west, they've obviously been going a lot longer. It'll be interesting to see what the statewide number is, but you know, it would probably be in the 20 to 25% range, but a lot more of that to the south and the west and very little to the north and east.
Those numbers, of course, are due out this afternoon at 3 o'clock from USDA, and we'll have a complete list of what happened in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska from the state statisticians during the closing market report tomorrow. What's the most often asked question on the phone today to you?
What to make of the corn market, and should we be selling corn even after it's down 3 or 4 cents? And I guess my answer is we've had our spring rally. If we do get corn planted, and the weather forecast would suggest that we would, the market looks like it's probably going to set back a little bit. But I think if we keep in mind the fact that the subsoil moisture is not very plentiful in a lot of places, I think we'll still see some scares and rallies in the summer. So I've maintained all along that, you know, sell some on the spring rally, but now that it's selling off a little bit, don't get too panicky. And when we rally in the summer, be ready to sell again.
Your cash bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes today at 227, down 4 cents for old crop corn, 243 for new crop corn. Cash beans are 569, up 4 cents, new beans 585. And cash wheat 326, new wheat 343, both of those down 2 cents today.
Greg, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report every Monday afternoon. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy and about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. $10 million in grants is being awarded by the state of Illinois to researchers who work with stem cells. Two of the researchers are at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Matthew B. Wheeler is receiving nearly $600,000 for research on stem cell therapy to repair bone and soft tissue. And Stephen Kaufman is receiving $250,000 to study the use of stem cells to treat muscular dystrophy. Illinois is among several states that have found money for stem cell research after President Bush severely restricted the amount of federal funding that can be used for the work. Investigators looking into a plane crash that killed four Chicago-area businessmen nearly 3 months ago say there is no evidence engine failure caused the accident. Surveillance video showed that the 1974 Cessna was nearly vertical before it crashed on January 30th near Pewaukee Municipal Airport in Wheeling. Corn planting in Illinois might be taking longer this year, but farmers should be able to get their seed in the ground on time. University of Illinois professor Fred Belo teaches corn physiology. He says soil conditions are good for growing. He says planting in early April, as Illinois farmers have done the past 2 years, is not necessarily good for the crop. Still, many Illinois farmers are already finished putting their corn in the ground. Caterpillar reported a 45% increase in first-quarter profits today. The Peoria-based company's shares rose 66 cents to $78.53 in early trading on the New York Stock Exchange. A candlelit vigil in the U of I Quad in Urbana tonight will remember victims of the Nazi Holocaust. It's the first activity in the annual Holocaust Awareness Week on campus. Other activities include an address Thursday evening by Holocaust survivor Rabbi Isaac Newman. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now by meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast across the Midwest and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the Midwest to begin with.
Well, from a corn planting standpoint, we still do not see any kind of problematic patterns here coming up. It is not a completely bone-dry pattern here across the Corn Belt over the next couple of weeks, but the bottom line is that the pattern features these fast-moving cold fronts moving through about every 4 days or so. We have one that's going to be moving through tonight on into tomorrow, another one around Friday, another one in the middle of next week, but we don't see much in the way of heavy rain associated with that front, so as a result, we should continue to have very favorable weather here for corn planting.
It should be a magnificent week to put corn in the ground, and farmers will be planting across the Midwest. Any parts of the eastern Corn Belt, the northern Corn Belt, the western Corn Belt that will suffer any more than others?
Well, it looks like at least the heaviest totals here coming up, at least for the system here tonight into tomorrow, is actually across the far southern portion of the belt. So for those farmers here who have not seeded yet across areas such as the Ohio River Valley and areas such as southern Illinois, southern Indiana, southwest Ohio, you know, they could have a little bit slow going here over the next couple of days, but that is really the only area of note here.
Any recovery to speak of, really, in the southwest and the Great Plains area?
Well, we're watching here, the current storm system, which is wrapping up across that region. We saw some parts of central Kansas in their wheat acreage receive our rainfall totals anywhere from a quarter of an inch to three-quarters of an inch, so a little bit of relief here today. We do see more relief on the way coming up later on this week and actually continuing into early next week. We are going to see a slow-moving upper-level storm system here that's actually going to get cut off from the jet stream flow, going to be slowly working its way from the southwest on into the southern plains. And as a result of the long duration of that system, the setup will be there for significant rainfall across portions of the plains. We're not saying that everyone is going to get widespread significant rains, but for Kansas, which is the key area at this time, especially with the crop now beginning the heading stage, at least it looks like a very good opportunity for significant rainfall there.
It's the harvest season in the southern hemisphere. How will they fare this week?
We see real good harvest progress here, especially across Argentina here, as we see little, if any, rain, at least over the next 3-4 days. Some rains here coming up over the upcoming weekend, but not enough to really bog down harvesting. And even the same is true across Brazil, which is wrapping things up at this point.
We appreciate you being with us today, Mark.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Mondays. Remember to tune in again tomorrow at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. Also, don't forget, you can always pick up most anything and everything that you hear in terms of agricultural programming any day of the week at WILLAG.org. That's our website. You can sign up for our newsletter there as well. Just hit the subscribe button. You have a great afternoon and be safe out there. It's the planting season. Take time off when you get the opportunity. You don't need to be that busy for that many hours all day long. I'm Todd Gleason.